As you get prepared to leave, I want to leave us with some few thoughts, some few things to take back home after GPLR 2019. And it will be from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 35 into 36. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he may send out laborers into his harvest." Hallelujah. So as we draw GPLR 2019 to a close, we see what the Master said in verse 36 of Matthew 9. Or what was his mood? The Bible says he had compassion. He had compassion on the people, because they were like sheep having no shepherd. That is the soul dinner's body. Every special meeting does not just end up as a special meeting and then you switch over. Every special meeting leads to other meetings. Every spiritual activity leads to spiritual activity. Are you hearing me? It's just like you are running a race, and then you don't run the race and stop and just go and rest. No, you run the race. As soon as this one is done, you're getting on another race. Hallelujah. So you don't drop the baton. You don't drop the ball. Are you hearing me? You don't drop the ball. You don't drop the baton. Don't say, "Thank God I'm done with GPLR. Let me go and rest after next year." No. No. Are you hearing me? No. We are not that way. Hallelujah. So, I talk to you today that you'd stir up, have the fire for personal evangelism, have the fire for personal evangelism. That is one thing that GPLR should spur you to have. 2019, the fire for personal evangelism. The fire to pray more. The fire to reach out to souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you stay involved in the Lord's ministry by being active in your personal evangelism. Being active in your personal evangelism. You stay involved in what the Lord is doing in the earth today. You stay involved. Hallelujah. Make up your mind on the amount of times you would go out for personal evangelism in a week, so you can go further to choose a day or days for your personal evangelism. Is a year of intense fire.
and it's going to be reflected in even in our personal evangelism. Are you hearing me? So you choose a day, not me and somebody, you alone. You pick a day. This is what I have to do in the year 2020. Every day, every Tuesday, I'm out reaching out to the lost souls. Are you hearing me? Make up your mind on the amount of people you speak to in a week concerning Christ. Not just speak to them concerning Christ and you disciple them. One thing I am eager to see from you and hear of you is the fact that you are not discipling men. You can come for GPL out 2019 and not be a discipler of men. That's what one thing I want to see and hear of you, that you don't have men you are discipling. Don't be an irresponsible believer. An irresponsible believer is one who is not taking up the master's job, who is not doing the master's beat, who is not doing the master's work, who is not discipling men, who has nobody he or she is overseeing. You are irresponsible and a bad example to other believers. You cannot afford to do that in 2020. So let your fire from GPLR, let it burn into your personal evangelism time for 2020. Have men that you are responsible for. You're responsible for bringing them for meetings, seeing to the fact that they hear the word of God on a daily basis. Have men, get responsible as a believer. And that is one thing I say I'm willing to see and hear from and hear concerning us, that we began to do this. You might have come into 20 or you are ending 2019 without discipling a soul from January to December. You've not been a good example. But as you live here today, let that form part of your resolution for 2020. From January, I'm discipling men. I've changed my approach. I see men the way God sees them. I see the lost the way Christ sees them. Bible says he was moved with compassion. If you see a man, you have friends who are not born again, and you just like relating to them on a normal level, without thinking or without seeing them the way Christ sees them, then you are not a serious believer. The father's business will become your number one business. Hallelujah. Fire for prayer. Never allow any burden for prayer go without being prayed for. Because you have burdens to pray. You see the way, you saw the way you pray during GPLR, you prayed out those burdens. Learn to pray out burdens when they come. Don't try to procrastinate. It doesn't matter where you are, and you have that burden to pray. Make sure you pray it out. Are you hearing me? Have those. Never allow any burden to pray go just like that. Make sure you pray them out, no matter where you are. Are you hearing me? No matter where you are, just pray it out. Hallelujah. Have times when you leave where people are to pray. Have fixed time for prayer. Have fixed personal times for prayer. not the one that ministries, the one giving you prayer points. I know we do that. Hallelujah. But you know, prayer times where you alone want to pray. Hallelujah. Have such times in the week. Take up personal vigils from time to time. Personal vigils where you just pray all through the night. Hallelujah. Because that is where your convictions are deepened. It's in the place of prayer that your convictions are deepened. Are you hearing me? So you have personal time for evangelism, personal times of prayer. Keep at it, brothers and sisters. Keep at it. Keep at it. Are you hearing me? Let the fire so burn. Let it so burn. Give little or no time for the flesh. Give little or no time for the things that are of the world. Let it be all about Christ 2020. All about Him. Are you hearing me? All about Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never get discouraged. Never. Glory to God. Number two, keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. I'm leaving you with this. Keep your eyes on the ball. What is the ball? Number one, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember, I said something to you. Always take note that someday you stand before the crowd of one and give account. So keep your eyes on Christ. Have a pure heart, a pure mind. Always remember you give account to Him. Have a pure heart. Have a pure heart. It's not about anyone else. It's not about your pastor. It's not about that brother, that sister. What somebody will say, what your mom will say, what your dad will say. It's all about Him. Hallelujah. 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 A call to ministry is a call by Him to do His work in the earth. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, I told you yesterday, going out to do evangelism is ministry. Ministry is not starting up a church. Going out to do evangelism and disciple men is ministry. Ministry simply means the work of Christ. Ministry just simply means work. The ministry of Christ is the work of Christ. What is the work of Christ? First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4, who desire that all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is his work. Men saved and groomed and taught. That is the work of Christ. Hallelujah. That's the work of Christ. That's the ministry of Christ. So you have a pure heart. Have a pure heart doing it. It's all about Jesus. Is Jesus all the way. Brothers and sisters, we are not in this for a short time. We are not in this for 2 days or while I'm a youth. We are in it for a long haul. Hallelujah. For a long haul. And it needs men who are dogged. Men who are resilient in the place of prayer. Men who are dogged, whose heart is pure towards the work. Hallelujah. Ministry is not serving the Lord is not a means for us to get a good job, or to have a nice house, or to drive a nice car. No, that is a wrong perception to ministry. Ministry is not a means to having the best phones. No, it's not a means to becoming the president of your nation. No, ministry is all about Jesus. Are you hearing me? It's all about Him. Him and Him alone. And we are in for a long haul. Come 2020, we'll still be here. Come 2030, we'll still be here. Doing the same thing, preaching Jesus the same way. Hallelujah. We're not adding salt, no pepper, no nothing. We're just preaching Christ and Him alone. So you've got to be dogged. Got to be resilient. How? In the place of prayer. Hallelujah. In the place of prayer. Have a pure heart. Have a pure heart. You're not in this for money. No. You're not in this to get acceptable to the world. No. In fact, ministry, doing the work of Christ, will make men to persecute you. Make men come against you. There will be people who would not like you. There will be your good friends which you have, who will leave you. People who you share things with that will walk away from you. But you know, He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So in ministry, it's Jesus that matters first. It's all about Him. Are you hearing me? When life pressures comes, it's all about Him. What will make you not to shake, not to falter, is because it has been Him and Him alone. Are you hearing me? So you stay dogged. Winds of doctrines will come. Waves of doctrine will come, but you know, you just remain dogged. You just stay with Christ. Stay with what you've known. This can be done only in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people will say, Lord, settle my mouth. You know I'm working for you. No. Settle my mouth with good door, with nice house. I want to drive Ferrari. I want to drive limousine. I want to live in Banana Island, in Snake Island, in Crocodile Island. Which one again? In Popo Island. I just want to live in all the island. You know, there's something that you are missing. Everybody staying in Banana Island, are they all Christians? If they are all Christians, then Banana Island will be the reward for your Christian feet. But because they are not all Christians, what the ordinary man without Christ would achieve, you want to have it as a benefit for serving the Lord? No, it can't be. Hallelujah. It can't be. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. 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 Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Have that pure conscience. Hallelujah. That pure mind. It's Him and Him and Him and Him alone. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. I will start 4 verse 12 because just like Paul writes to Timothy, I want to tell us, I want to say those words to us. And I say to you, let no man despise your youth. Are you hearing me? Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Hallelujah. Till 2020 GPLR, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of my hands. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evidence to all. Hallelujah. Take heed
to yourself and to the doctrine. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on your teaching. And what you have been taught or been taught. Keep your eyes on the doctrine. Continuing them. When doing so, you save both yourself and those who hear you. So you keep your eyes on the teachings. Keep your eyes on the teaching. What you have been taught. Keep your eyes on those teachings. I'm giving you a parting word for GPLR 2019. A parting word. Keep your eyes on the teachings. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul again to Timothy. He says, you must continue. You must stay dogged. You must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you've learned them. You must continue in the things you've learned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you keep your eyes on the message. Keep your eyes on the teachings. All our teachings are always online. Make sure, do not say, I was in the teaching meeting, so I know it. No. No. Hallelujah. Listen to it again. Because there are a lot of things you did not pick while it was being taught. So listen to it again. You are staying on the teachings. Hallelujah. Paul tell Timothy, keep your eyes on the doctrine. Continue in the things which you have learned. Take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine. So you stay put with what you have been taught. Stay put with what you have been taught. No mixtures. No, do not try to add. Stay put to what you have been taught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you train yourself to listen to messages. Train yourself to listen to messages. Don't allow anyone teach you any other thing apart from what your pastors have been teaching you. Are you hearing me? Don't allow anyone teach you any other thing apart from what you have been taught by your pastor. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Paul will tell Timothy, first of all, he will tell Timothy, being assured of whom you've learned from. Verse 9 says, do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. That's the word didache. Various and strange mode of explanation. For it is good that they have been established by grace, not with food, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Do not remind yourself of this thing. Do not. Hallelujah. 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 Do not allow anybody teach you any other thing that you have not been taught by your pastor, or to add more exegesis to what your pastor has taught you. Why is he your pastor? And so that he will teach you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. There are some things that it's your pastor that knows your spiritual state. It's your pastor that knows what and what to teach you at a particular point in time. Are you hearing me? Your pastor. So you follow the teaching of your pastor. Don't try to be fast. Don't be too forward. Follow the teaching of your pastor. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Wait for your pastor to teach you. Wait for your pastor to teach you.
There are some of us that have listened to some messages, but until you are taught here, you didn't understand them well. So wait till your pastor to teach you. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you today, men and brethren. Well, I guess I'm the only man here.
Oh, wait. Very soon, Pastor Zika will come and dance. We'll go
to the internet
and dance, Pastor Zika. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. It will happen.
Glory to God. I want to tell you something. Wear the badge of your pastor. Wear the badge of your pastor. Wear his badge.
Say, Pastor, Wisdom is my pastor. Pastor Imam is my pastor.
Don't be forming. Because that is the one that prayed for you. That prays for you. Don't, there's no need to form. Hallelujah. It's only when we were all traveling all these days. We're all praying body. Now imagine your member and say, you know, you're not my pastor.
No. Say, you're my pastor. I love you, pastor. I love you. You're my pastor. And goes out and see somebody that says, this is Miss Bro Juku. Your pastor. Wear the badge of your pastor every day and time. This one labors for me. Tell us, this one labors for me.
Wear the badge of your pastor all the time. There's a post I will share on the group chat later on after now. And I want all of us to read it and read it well concerning your pastor. Are you hearing me? I've shared it before, but I'll do it again. It will come as you read it. As you read it, just have in mind what I'm telling you now. Are you hearing me? Have in mind what I'm telling you now. And see how it will go a long way in helping your Christian life. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So I wear the badge of my pastor. I wear the badge of my pastor.
I know how to wear the badge of my pastor. There's a way to wear the badge of your pastor. I wear the badge of my pastor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you keep your eyes on what you have been taught. Any message any message that while it was being taught you didn't really understand, go back to listen to it again.
I hear me. Serious believers will have headsets. That's what I'm saying. We have headsets.
Hallelujah. You just keep listening to messages again and again and again. Glory to God. Learn doctrine. Are you hearing me? Learn doctrine. You don't need to be told.
Let me tell you how to learn doctrine, because we are all leaders here. Whether you like it or yes, we are all leaders here. Hallelujah. Amen. So how do you learn doctrine? Most times as you listen to those messages, try as much as you can to transcribe them. You learn those things. Hallelujah. Learn doctrine. You are listening to message, you are a serious student. You are listening to message, you have your Bible, you have your writing material, you are jotting, you are checking it out, you are pausing to listen to check. You are learning those things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Get serious with your Bible studies. Get serious with your Bible studies. I want to tell you this. Keep your eyes as a pastor, as a cell leader, as an HCO leader,
as one who has disciples or who wants to start raising disciples in the year 2020. Keep your eyes on the flock. You know what? You know one thing. We can be friends, We can be friends. But there's no friendship in the work of the Lord. You know what I mean by there's no friendship in the work of the Lord? We can be friends, but you know, our decision, our concentration cannot be the same. Are you hearing me? Our decisions for the gospel cannot be the same. I have friends. We pray together. Listen, we pray together. We prayed hours together. Hours together. We studied hours together. Both while I was in school, on days, I have friends. Some of you know Tunde, some of you know. Okay, Tunde, I have friends in school, Billion and several of them, Fred, Pastor Fred, Allen. We studied long hours together. We prayed long hours together, bro. Festus, we pray all through, Katrine. We go out to pray long hours. Study long hours, but you know, majority of them, as I talk to you, are not in ministry. But it did not affect me. Why would it affect me? Because it's just Christ that I see. Hallelujah. It's just Christ that I see. The fact that your very good friend dropped the ball is not an excuse for you to drop the ball. The fact that your very good friend is no longer active in ministry doesn't mean you too become inactive in ministry. It's not like Air Force where you join together and retire together. Hallelujah. He drops the ball. It's the more reason why you keep moving. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I could tell you, oh, dang. You see, I have friends that no longer believe in the things we used to do. But that did not make me shake. Yes, I leave. Because you know what? While we were doing it, I was not doing it because of you. No. Do you get? I wasn't doing it because of you. My conviction has been built. Are you hearing me? My conviction has been built. I have friends who spoke in tongues for hours. We saw results, and today they are telling me they don't believe in tongues. I don't have a concern. Oh, boy. All the way. All the way. I'm in tongues and I'm praying in tongues. No, I am not relaxing for anybody. Hallelujah. Because my conviction is not you. No. No. When I had those personal times of consecration, you were not there. Those times I would go on my knees and cry and say, Lord, if nobody would go, I would go. You were not there. You were in your house. So that I built my conviction. And I'll stay with it. Lord, I'll stay with it. Even if nobody comes to meeting again and everybody turns their back on Christ, I will stay serving you. You alone. Hallelujah. So it's not about your friends. It's not about your colleagues. It's all about you and Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not even about, let me tell you something. It's not even about your pastor. It's about you and Christ. What if your pastor says and he no longer believes? And you now drop the ball because your pastor dropped the ball. Sorry. Hallelujah. It's you. Hallelujah. Well, I was looking up to him for my spiritual growth. Yes, that's me. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. If today the people I look up to drop the ball, or they start preaching another gospel, Paul says, if me or anybody or an angel come to preach any other thing, did you see that? He said, let me be accursed. So you should understand the fact. Hallelujah. He said, if us or any other or an angel come to you preaching another gospel, heteros gospel, he said, let him be accursed, anathema. Let him, do you understand me? Let him be accursed. So very important. Let him be treated like an angel. So I look up to people, but you know, when they switch, doesn't mean I should switch. I hear me. So you keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the flock. Those you are going to be discipling from this year into next year, into next 20 years, you keep your eyes on them. Hallelujah. 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 The one, the two, the three people you are talking to about Christ, that is a walk. I'm talking to one person, discipling one person is a walk. Are you hearing me? So you stay put to that one person. Hallelujah. You are teaching that one the word. Consistently and constantly, you are teaching that one the word. Hallelujah. Stay glued. Let your eyes be on the flock. Let your eyes be on the flock. Stay around your flock always. Be around them always. Hallelujah. Jesus in John 21, verse 15 to 16.
Joseph will tell Peter, say, Peter, loveth me now more than this. He said, feed
my sheep. Feed my lamb. Hallelujah. 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 In Acts of Apostles, chapter 20, verse 28. Paul writes to the elders at Ephesus, and he will tell them, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. To take heed to thyself and to thy flock. Take heed to thyself and to thy flock. Take heed. Take heed to thyself and to thy flock. Take heed to thy preaching. And I leave you with this, even as we close this session. How long are you going to stay preaching Jesus? How long are you willing to go for Christ? How long are you willing to go preaching Jesus? How long are you willing to go praying, evangelizing, and preaching only Jesus? How long are you willing to go? Are you in for the short haul? Or are you in for the long haul? Ministry is such that it defines our life. It defines our purpose. It defines our pursuit in the natural. There are jobs you cannot take because of ministry. There are places you cannot work because of ministry. People are working at any good pay, yes, but you can't work there because of ministry. There are some places you can't even live because of ministry. There are some people you can't call friends because of ministry. I hear me. I can't take up a job outside Lagos. Because of ministry. Even if the money becomes watering, mouth watering, and they say they are going to pay me 10 million, I cannot leave. I will only turn it down because of ministry. And you know what? The master sees those things. Master sees those things. You are given a sacrifice for ministry. You neglect your comfort. There's no comfort. We mother comfort to serve him. He that wants to follow me, he should neglect father and mother. I hear me. Luke chapter 9. How far are you willing to go? See, people will call you a fanatic. You are a this. It's not the first time. They call Jesus a fanatic. It's not a this. They call him a fanatic. But rather be a fanatic and be unstable as a minister. Luke chapter 9. I'll read. Verses 57. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." You know, these are some said of you, "Lord, I'll follow you." It's normal to, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no where to lay his head." What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, there is no comfort in this job. There's no comfort in this task. So the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Meaning, this is not a place, it's not a task for comfort. You know how many of us did not sleep well? We came to sleep and talk about back. Some of us, for only God knows the amount of months, we've not missed our water bed, but we slept on our back. Hallelujah. Where some of the pastors lay down. In fact, the wood can break your waist. I'm not joking. Because I slept on it too. Hallelujah. But you know, we are not there for comfort. I didn't come there for comfort. Are you hearing me? You come here for comfort. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people had to do short food. But not here for comfort. We are not here for comfort. Glory to God. He said, "But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." For he said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." Look at what he said. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go preach the kingdom of God." You can look at this and say, Jesus is heartless. No, it's not. That is what the job entails. That is what it entails. It's for the long haul. It's for the long haul. This person lost the father. Supposed to be sitting down and mourning, but Jesus said, "No. Go preach the gospel." And this is it. The gospel comes before burying the dead. That is that important? Jesus is trying to let you see the importance you should place to the gospel. To let the dead bury the dead. Is it the dead that will bury the dead? No, it's the living that will bury the dead now, right? But what he's saying is, place priorities the right way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Place priorities the right way. Is it going to be painful? Yes. Are you going to cry? Yes. Yes, you're not going to see that person again. Yes. But you know, if you know what you are doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The 61, another said to him, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me go and bid farewell to them who are at the house." But Jesus said to them, "No one, having put his hand on the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who has put his hand on the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God." So, the gospel weighs more than family. You know, there's this talk that people usually say, blood is thicker than water. Well, I beg to disagree with you. Blood is thicker than water, but the spirit is thicker than blood.
The work of the master is thicker than blood. The way spiritual relationship above family. That's what Jesus is saying. The mother one day came to meet Jesus in teaching meeting. Mama Jesus. Omo Jesu. And I said Omo Jesu. Ya Jesu. Came to meet Jesus. And from the gate, he said, "I want to see Jesus." Tell him the mother wants to see him. You know Nigerian women, let me use Nigerian women. Tell him the mama wants to see him. He sucked my breath. Hallelujah. He sucked my breath. This breath! I'm carrying a banana. Hallelujah.
I carried him. He disturbed.
Even when I went to meet Elizabeth, they were just jumping here and there. Telling the mama went back farm.
Hallelujah.
And they came to tell Jesus that your mother and your brothers are here to see you. What did Jesus say? Say, who is my mother? Who is my brother? He said, but those who are listening to me here. Very instructive.
Very instructive. And Mary, being who Mary is, not the typical Nigerian woman,
understood.
We went to be some people. And you know, after I don't suck my blessings, God is denying it. Hallelujah.
You suck my blessings, the bread don't fall.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
But I said that to say this. Then am I saying you go and tell your mother,
you're not my mother?
I didn't say that. But what is Jesus weighing in on? Jesus is weighing in on the fact that the spiritual relationship weighs higher than the blood relationship.
You place the right things the right way. You place the teaching of the word the right way.
I am. Glory to God. Let me tell you something I told me and my friend Tunde. We said back then,
because we were friends for years and our parents didn't know ourselves. Our parents didn't know themselves. So, but my dad knows him, my mom knows him. The dad knows me, and the mom knows me.
But the parents, the two parents, did not know themselves. Are you understanding this?
So I'm always in Tunde's house. Tunde's always in my house. In fact, Tunde became part of my family. I became part of his family. His brothers will call me their brother.
So that's how close we now became.
But the parents didn't know themselves. All the people were working.
And I'm saying, this one, we are this close. And our parents, till today, the father will be asking, who is your father? Mm-hmm. I'll call my father and say, I have never heard that name. I'm not. My father too, the same thing.
We're not working one day. This one, our parents didn't know ourselves. They didn't know themselves.
Let it not now be that. The day they will not see themselves, they will not remember maybe why my father was last quarter and your father was ACM in that kind of duty or something like that happened. And there's this hatred.
Great.
I hope they, maybe now they now saw and they now remember that maybe there is something that has been that is now. And you know, we have to settle in there immediately.
And he said, no matter what, even if they see to me, I discovered that they've been arch enemies, you know. The spirit is greater than blood.
Do you understand that? And we have to settle it there.
We remain in this. Keep doing this no matter what. I am no matter what. I used to have a brother of blessed memory, Brother Jeremiah. But Jeremiah, when the father knew that was going on with him, and he was always coming to learn the word of God, and now knows that it was also man with my father. Ah! It was not a small something, no. Different was whatever. To the point that one day I was walking, the mother stopped me on the road, in the middle of the road. I was shouting, you are the one who is leading my son astray. You are the one who is making my son want to go to deeper life. You are the one who is doing this. He shouted for close to 15-20 minutes on the road. T9 road. Shouted everybody praying at him. And I just stood. And that same evening, I and Jeremiah team went to bonfire with Pastor Tony.
I didn't say one word.
You see, talked and spoke and spoke. I wish she was done, she left. But that same evening, we still went to pray.
You understand?
No hard feelings. Just the work. I love your brother, Broima. Broima, he started coming for our meetings. And they were going to Cherubim and Seraphim. He started coming for our meetings. He started speaking in tongues.
That was a brother that attended one of our power meetings. And I was teaching about the power of God, the name of Jesus. And I was saying some things, it was like, he now voiced out, now said, prove it! You know, as we listen to him, I said, prove it! You know me mouth. You know what this bad voice is? And I told him to stand. And I said, stretch forth your hands. He did. And I said, in the name of Jesus, that hand is suspended. And it's not a joke. And I told him, put your hands down. He couldn't put his hands down. He was like that with his hands. He called somebody else, press that hand down, and he couldn't. He is just coming for the first time. And he was crying. Almost crying. And there, we now minister Christ to him. We were radical. I knew we have a meeting outside. So when he said, oh, Jesus is good. Hallelujah. We're outside. Block teaching. You know, Pastor Sikas place outside. We're outside. And I began to see me shout, say, oh, Jesus. That was the first time. I didn't plan to have such kind of meeting. And I ran. I gave myself, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we were done, we laid hands on this brother. This brother immediately started shouting in tongues. Was shouting in tongues. So that was the beginning of the issue at home. But you know, this brother, I heard that there was a day the father tied him at T10, at T9, tied him to the wall. I was using Koboko to flog hell out of him for coming for our meeting. I was flogging him. I was asking him, will you go there again? The boy was shouting, no! The father flogged him publicly. But you know what? The father flogged him on Friday. He was around for School of the World on Saturday. Those are some of the things you have to go through for the sake of the gospel. He came and he showed me his back. And I couldn't just weep. I wanted to tell him, don't come again. But I couldn't just, because my father has never flogged me with Koboko. So I don't know what, but when you see the mark of Koboko, you will pity for Passion of Christ. And they flogged that guy. And he was flogging. And the guy kept coming. Till what the father now did, when they were having a meeting on Saturdays alone. On Saturday in the morning, the father would lock him inside the house and go out. Father would lock Emmanuel inside the house. On two occasions when they locked him inside the house, be me, I will go to the house and knock to do follow up. Hallelujah. So I saw that they were locking him. So on two occasions, he had to jump from the kitchen. You know, the backyard kitchen. The house was downstairs. We jump from the backyard, the kitchen, open the kitchen, the slide door, and run away. Come for me. Those are the things people take, go through just to hear the word. And what were you teaching them? I hear me. But yet, you see people with such hunger. If there was ever a time I was moved to preach the gospel the more, was those days when I see people go through a lot to hear the gospel. It moves me to pray more for them. I'm serious, I'm telling you the truth. But today, the day you sit at home, in fact, you will not just sit at home, you will pitch your tent at home. No move to making sure you come out from it. People took risks. They have to bundle that boy and send him out of Lagos because of the departure. There was no one thing to be speaking in tongues. But finally, as I'm talking to you, the guy is in the U.S. He has left Nigeria. You see, never, I'm telling you the truth, never place anything above the knowledge of God, above serving God,
Never
in 2020. Never! Not even your job. Not even once the job is taking your time for the gospel. Never. I'll tell you guys what I did. I was supposed to have been chartered by now to chartered accountant. Supposed to have been done with my ICANN. But you know what? The only time I had to go for my ICANN class was supposed to be Saturdays and Sundays. And I thought about it.
Saturdays when I'm supposed to be getting prepared for meeting. Sundays when I'm supposed to be teaching, I want to go to fire class. I can go and on fire. I'm doing this. I'm in for this. There are people who I taught in school. But while I was in school, I was a tutorial teacher. I taught people in school, my junior and my seniors. There are people that when I started ICANN, they don't even know I talk this or they can. But I'm talking to you today, they are chartered. And I am not. One of them was talking to me, this part I chartered. I said no. But I'm like, why? How? When? Not because kind of person. I don't feel bad. Because I left it for Christ. Hiring. That is what is important to me. That is what is important to me. That Christ is. That's what is important to me. So how would I now feel if I now have the whole certificate? And there is no soul. And there is no one being taught the word. That's why I told you, hear the battle of your pastors. If you know what your pastors have gone through or are going through, you understand. One of your pastors got a job opportunity to work in Port Harcourt. We're not supposed to be saying this, but one of your pastors got the job opportunity to work in Port Harcourt. In an oil firm, if not NMPC, either NMPC or Shell, one of those two, with good pay, watery pay, but for the sake of some of us here, he downed the offer and remained jobless because of all of us here. Those are real, you see, those are things you go through for the sake of the gospel. Are you hearing me? Do you know how many people have called him stupid? You don't have sense. But you know, those things don't matter to us. Those things don't matter. When I heard it, it was a good decision he took. But you know, when I got home, I thought about it. I'm like, God. You know, when you think you are the one making sacrifices for the kingdom, and you hear other people making life-challenging sacrifices. By now, maybe 6 months down the line, he will be driving a Bugatti. But he left that so that he will always have that time to teach you the word. And you are not wearing the badge of your pastor. You are selfish and an ingrate. Are you hearing me? I can go on and on. We have a pastor who's supposed to have gone back to further his education. But for the sake of us, he's still in Lagos. But sacrifices people are making. And you are not ready to make sacrifices? You count it all loss for the excellence of Christ. What is it? It's not about the money. The money will come and it will perish and go. But what will stay, is what you've done for the Lord. That's what will count at the end. It's not the amount of money you have that will count. No, I fear you. That's not what will count. It's the sacrifices you've made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's why I told us yesterday. It's not about your desire. It's not about what you like. Mother than one. Are you hearing me? Mother than one. That does not exist in this realm. Can you hear me? Doesn't exist in this realm. So,
keep your eyes on the flock. Keep doing this. How long? How long? How long would you stay preaching Jesus? How long will you go preaching Jesus? Are you just here? Are you just in it for a short while? Or you are ready to go for a long while? For a long haul? You remain dogged. You remain dogged preaching Jesus. Hallelujah. Just bow down your head. Just a point. Just take this time.